Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA News, I'm Rich Johnson. The Supreme Court has agreed that Alabama's latest version of congressional districts violates the Voting Rights Act. The court has struck down the map as discriminating against black voters. The 5-4 Supreme Court vote means that Alabama must redraw its 7 congressional districts. All that smoke in the air around the Northeast into the Midwest and South may start dissipating tonight, but it won't come soon enough for these airline passengers.
This is the first time I've worn a mask since we had to for the pandemic.
The air quality is really bad. My eyes are burning. I can feel it in the back of my throat.
And a lot of flights are being delayed thanks to the smoke from wildfires in Canada. NBC correspondent George Solis is at the airport in Philadelphia.
The FAA did temporarily stop incoming flights here at the airport. They have just announced that they have resumed, but obviously this is sort of a cat and mouse game, right? Because we don't know how much longer the wind will be here and if the smoke is going to get any heavier. So obviously that could change.
Cities in New York, Pennsylvania, and Connecticut could see some improvement in air quality by tonight or even this afternoon. The man who led the coalition of Christians into politics has died. Christian Broadcasting Network founder Pat Robertson died at his home in Southeast Virginia early this morning. Robertson's long tenure on the 700 Club led him to run for president in 1988 and then turned Christian activism into one of the top forces in politics for decades. Pat Robertson was 93. Are you socially conservative? If so, you are not alone. A new Gallup poll finds 38% of us in the USA say they're socially conservative. That's about 5% more than said so a year ago. The Labor Department says more of us filed for unemployment benefits last week. 261,000 first-time jobless claims. That's the highest that number has been since October of 2021. This is USA News.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of 3 major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is a process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Instead of trying to repeal the Second Amendment, California Governor Gavin Newsom's proposing a new change to the U.S. Constitution, a 28th Amendment to enshrine 4 gun control measures, raising the federal minimum age to purchase a gun to 21, mandating universal background checks, instituting a reasonable waiting period for all gun purchases, and banning the civilian purchase of assault weapons. Fox News says Tucker Carlson has breached his contract by launching a new show on Twitter.
Axios reports the company notified Carlson's lawyers by letter on Wednesday. His attorneys told the outlet that any legal action by Fox would violate his First Amendment rights. Carlson, who had been Fox's top-rated primetime host, was let go in April. The first episode of his new Twitter show debuted Tuesday, with more than 60 million views less than one day since posting. I'm Ryan Daniels.
The New York City Council is about to consider a bill that would protect rideshare drivers a bit. The measure would ban rideshare companies like Uber and Lyft from banning drivers without 2 weeks' notice and just cause. The bill would also create a process to resolve disputes. Right now, the companies can ban any driver anytime for any reason. More than 200 people finally made it to San Francisco a couple of days after their Air India flight had to make an emergency landing in Siberia. It took 2 days for a replacement plane to arrive to complete the trip from Delhi. I'm Richard Johnson, USA News.
Attention timeshare owners, tired of the financial stress? Were you misled by the salesperson? Don't or can't use your timeshare anymore? If any of these apply to you, then you may qualify for timeshare cancellation and get the relief you need now. Timeshare Defense Attorneys is the number one affordable fixed fee legal solution in the country, with an A+ Better Business Bureau rating. That's certainly better than my grades. They even offer a 100% client satisfaction guarantee. Let one of their experienced lawyers evaluate your case and explain the process. If they take you as a client, they'll work on your case until it's resolved in your favor, guaranteed. Expect great service and a close working relationship with your lawyer, keeping you informed every step of the way, protecting your rights, interests, and even your credit. It's that simple. Even a kid like me can understand it. The consultation is free. Call today.
800-296-1332. 800-296-1332. That's 800-296-1332.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here. Great to have you with us, sharing a part of your day. For more info on the show, check it out. BillMartinezShow.com. That's where you want to go. Hey, George Barna is with us, the professor at Arizona Christian University and the president of the Cultural Research Center at ACU, here to talk about which generation's faith was most altered by the pandemic and how. Hey, George, how are we doing?
Doing well. Good to be with you, Bill.
Before we get into the topic, this is a topic that lingered, that really got the attention and gained some resonance with our audience. And you and I talked about the institution of the church. I was the one that brought that up, and I think it was a misuse of words. And you had expressed some great advisement on this, and that what an institution delivers, and it wasn't what Jesus had given us when he had directed the apostles to implement the church.
Yeah, I mean, we've got to remember why he instituted what we call the church. Now, of course, we have different definitions of church, but when he was talking about it, he was talking about the body of believers, not an institution. And as he talked about that, his advice to us, his admonition to us, his command to us was to go and make disciples. And so that's what the church is supposed to be about. And he gave us six different times in the scriptures when people were sitting around him and he's teaching them, and he described what a disciple was. Mm-hmm. And so that's really what we need to go back to, not what we've made it to be, but what did Jesus intend us to be doing in order to fulfill the great commission that he gave to us, which was to make disciples. So it's about obeying his teachings. It's about loving each other. It's about bearing fruit, you know, producing spiritual fruit. It's about placing God number one in our lives. It's about surrendering, and it's about submitting. In Luke 14, three of those admonitions, in John 8, 13, and 15, the other three. And so if we simply go back to what he told us to do in terms of discipleship, we would have a church in America that looks completely different than it looks today, that would have a different heartbeat than it has today, and would be reaping different results than it's reaping today, because we're also told in the scriptures, Galatians 6, you reap what you sow. Right. Sadly, we're reaping what we sow in the church in America. We don't like it, so we've got to sow something different.
Yeah, without a doubt, because when we were talking, the thing that hit me was that, you're right, George, because it's not like Jesus said, hey, go out and go bank a bunch of buildings.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like God needs a building, right? He doesn't need a temple. You know,
I mean,
it's like
he came to do away with that.
Right.
You know, I mean, they already had that. He could say, oh, this is great. Can you just get more people in it? That's our approach. You know, that was not his approach. I mean, his approach was, let's get fewer people in it, but those fewer people will be really sold out to what it's about. So that's the direction that we need to move. You know, what I found, and I may have brought this up in some previous conversation we've had, that when we've studied churches in America, we know that they measure five things. How many people show up, how many programs they offer, how many staff people they've hired for those programs, how much money they raised, how much square footage they built out. Jesus didn't die for any of those things.
Exactly.
You know, so let's commit ourselves to the thing that he died for, which is love, obedience, producing fruit, surrender, submission, and putting God before anything else.
I want to say it's about the idea of our faith as opposed to bricks and mortar. What was the idea? What was behind it? And Jesus was real clear, but the inclination of humanity, as we talked about last time, is to institutionalize things. And when we do, you get the Ten Commandments into the ten volumes, right?
Yeah, and I think each of us has to keep in mind that when you look at what Jesus did, he spent a lot of time trying to get them to believe the right things. Why? Because he knows, and now we know, that you do what you believe. So your beliefs produce your lifestyle. Your lifestyle is where the rubber meets the road. That's what demonstrates what you really believe, what you're really committed to, why you get out of bed in the morning. And so, yes, beliefs matter tremendously, but it's because they get converted into a way of living that demonstrates where our heart really is, what our mind is really latched onto. So we got to get the beliefs right, but then we got to prove that we've got it right by the way we live.
Exactly. And when you consider the church, we are the church. It's not about the buildings. It's not about the lead pastor. I mean, how many times does a lead pastor come under attack and we get church splits going on and all this other rambunctious behavior and fruit that's not of God? In a sense that what God had intended to be, it could be of God because God says, hey, look, maybe it's time to break things up like he did with the Tower of Babel and on and on. But we need to revisit, I believe, the Church of Acts and what the Acts Church was all about, George.
Well, yeah, you know, a few years back I'd written that book, Revolution, mm-hmm. and the whole point of that was looking at what did Jesus tell us to do? I mean, I scoured the New Testament. There's no place in it where Jesus ever said, go to church. But time after time after time, he's exhorting us to be the church. And so that's why these beliefs matter and the way it translates to behavior matters. We are supposed to be the church, and through that, we influence the culture. That's that part of what he said a disciple does, which is to bear fruit. You know, we influence the culture. We're part of that transforming entity within the culture that he injects into the culture for the purpose of bringing every person to Christ, making them disciples. Each of us who claims that we love Jesus, each of us who embraces that label, Christian, has to understand that all that means is that Jesus loves me more than I love him, but I'm going to do the best that I can to love him that much, and I'm going to demonstrate it in these particular ways. And when I'm successful at demonstrating that by being a disciple maker, that's what changes the world. Christ and his Holy Spirit working through me because I'm trying to be the church that he made me and called me to be.
Would we be better off? Just a question here. Every Sunday, Saturday, people go to church. They go inside a building and sit in the same place that they sit, hardly talk and interact, though we're cautioned. We're said, hey, do not forsake the gathering of one another. But it wasn't necessarily confined to a church. But yet what we do, we've just so limited what God had intended for the church. We're better off taking that hour of time and going out just one-on-one with somebody, discipling somebody.
If you look at the book of Acts, which is the model that we were given for what the church is supposed to look like, that's the church book in the Bible.
Right.
Well, when you look at that, what you find out is that the church met all the time, but they were meeting in homes, they were meeting in restaurants, they were meeting out in the fields where they played games together, they were meeting when families got together to do things. That was the church at work. That was the church being the salt and the light in the culture in which they were placed to have a life-transforming influence. Why? Exactly. Because we know that one of the ways that you make disciples is that people watch what you do. And if it's compelling enough, they're going to want to do it too. Or they're going to ask you questions about it. And that's when we get to build or expand the church by bringing them into that circle of people that we get to love and disciple.
Well, George, can't thank you enough for, you know, talking and bringing this up, because I think this is really critical, especially where we are right now. Got to go to break. We've got more from George Barna after this. Stay with us.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right, for about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back, but you're gonna love it, and you're gonna love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-699-0358. 800-699-0358. 800-699-0358. That's 800-699-0358.
Would you like to hear better for as little as 10 cents a day? Now you can, with the all-new Audion hearing aids. The average hearing aid lasts about 3 years. Ours, at only $99 a pair, means you're paying as little as 10 cents a day to hear better. And to make things even better, we'll give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Skip the doctor and get hearing aids delivered straight to your door. We've eliminated all the middlemen to offer you a factory direct price of only $99 a pair. Join over 300,000 people just like you who took advantage of our 45-day trial offer. Now you can hear better too for just 10 cents a day. Call now and order your $99 pair of Audion hearing aids with a 45-day money-back guarantee. Plus, get free 3 to 5 day shipping.
800-577-5319. 800-577-5319. 800-577-5319. That's 800-577-5319.
could join us. Dr. George Barna continues with us. He's the professor at Arizona Christian University, president of the Cultural Research Center at ACU. And I just want to put a bow around that first segment here, if we could, George. You touched on some critical points, and that is, I think it's the call for the church to be what Jesus had intended the church to do. And really, for a time such as this, when you've got so much chaos and a lot of questions, and you've got Satan running amok, being as divisive as he can be, and all the lies that are flourishing, now more than ever, if we're going to combat this movement, the church, the body of Christ, as Jesus has intended, has got to step up, doesn't it?
In doing all this research about pre-pandemic, post-pandemic, one of the most frustrating things was looking at what local churches did during that three-year period of time. And what we find is that most of them embrace the philosophy of, I take my orders from the government. Now, as the followers of Christ, we're supposed to take our orders from God himself, which he committed to writing in the Bible so that we could thrive in life. And so I think we got it wrong during the pandemic. And, you know, I'm not here just to put down churches. They're run by people. People make mistakes. People sin. We're not perfect. That's why we need God and his guidance. But now let's look at the guidance. Let's realize what we did wrong. Let's learn the lesson. Let's grow. Let's do better now. And so now that we've got the opportunity to more easily influence people's lives, let's get it right. Let's do the right things. Let's not worry about how many people are coming, how much money we're raising, how many staff we've hired. Do we have the biggest real estate portfolio in the community? What we need to do is be looking at those lives and measuring them according to the criteria that Jesus gave us for what a disciple is, you know, love, the obedience, etc. If we're moving people in that direction, hooray, hallelujah, amen, the church is alive and well. If we're doing anything else, shame on us, because it's our fault, nobody else's.
Well, this was a great opportunity, you know, COVID-19, in a sense, in so many ways. And you just touched on something that's so critical. And I pray that pastors, leaders of churches, and it doesn't matter, you can have a home church, it doesn't matter, you're a leader, that you draw some preference out of what we went through. Did we render to Caesar the things that were to go to Caesar, and to God the things that were God? Was God glorified during this 2.5 years of this pandemic, or did we fail him? And what can we do next time so that we make sure that God is exalted?
Yeah, and I think that's a different way of saying God first, you know, which is the first thing that Jesus said in Luke 14 about, you cannot be my disciple unless you love me so much that in comparison, it's going to seem like you hate your brother, your sister, your spouse, your friends. Everybody else is secondary. I must come first. And I think that's the first lesson that we forgot during the pandemic, is that when we enter a crisis, oh my goodness, what a great time to lean on God and say, help me through this. What do I do? And not instead to turn to the government and the media and to take direction from them. Because, I mean, you know, if we want a definition of places that are going to get it wrong, that would be it.
Oh, yeah.
And,
exactly.
Yeah. And so instead, let's go to the place that, by definition, is going to get it right. That's God and his word.
Amen.
And so, yeah, now we have this opportunity to look back, and even though it's in retrospect, say, oh, my goodness, how silly we were, how stupid we were, but we can do better. We can do better, and God wants us to do better. Let's figure out what that means and start incorporating that into the way that we're thinking.
And, George, to your point, I believe there's stories out there that we're not hearing. The media is not going to present them, but, you know, people need to speak up. Churches need to speak up, say, look, this is what we did, good, bad, wrong, or whatever, and this is what we learned. We need to have that conversation so that we can all learn from it, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I was blessed to belong to a church that never closed during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. We were sued by two different levels of government. There were pickets outside of our church. I mean, all kinds of stuff went on. But fortunately, we were led, key word there, led by a pastor who understood that, no, I take my guidance from God. And so we're going to continue to meet, to worship him, to praise him, to learn from him, to be able to be prepared to share during this time of great opportunity in the community. And that's what we were getting there, was ideas about, okay, what does God tell us in the midst of a crisis? Let's look at the crises in the Bible, how people handled those, what lessons do we learn? You know, I mean, it was a great time of learning and instruction for us. And, yeah, did our church suffer?
And faith building, too, George.
Yeah.
Because when you realize that God is faithful, what does that do?
And here's the irony of it. Okay, most churches measure attendance. So what do they do during the pandemic? They closed. During the pandemic, our church did not close. We went from 400 to 2,500. And that 2,500 is continuing to come now, because they're seeing that we are led by a person who was called by God to lead God's people. He was trained and prepared to lead God's people in God's word. And so it's a congregation that's making a difference in our entire area now, because that man had the courage, the strength, the calling, and the conviction to say, yeah, I don't care what the government says. I'll listen to it. But if it conflicts with the guidance that God gives us, then those human beings are wrong. And I'm going to go with the divine one.
Amen. Your latest study, Which Generation's Faith Was Most Altered by the Pandemic and How? We got about 3 minutes left, so I'll let you bring us home on that.
Yeah, I mean, the essence of it was, again, what a great time for people to grow, to learn, to be transformed. Yet what we found was with the millennials, who are the least biblical of our four adult generations, they were indifferent to spirituality, to faith, as something that they could use to help them navigate the pandemic. Gen X, who's always been kind of waffling and struggling spiritually, they had the greatest spiritual turbulence of any of the generations and had a general shift away from trusting God during the pandemic. See, this is where the church needed to be to tell, no, this is the time we lean on God. We don't turn away from him because we've got a crisis. He can work through that crisis and help you rise above it. Boomers and elders, the two older generations, had a slight move toward more biblical ideas about how to live life. So this was a crisis. When do people change? In times of pain and suffering. What causes pain and suffering? A crisis. And so this was a tremendous time to see positive change happen. The organized church in America did not exploit that opportunity, and we lost essentially more ground with our two younger adult generations, who, by the way, are our parenting generations. And so, you know, we've got to learn. We've got to learn from our mistakes. And the fact that those two younger generations, all generations in America right now, but particularly those two younger generations, the two with the lowest incidence of biblical worldview, what happened? They moved more towards syncretism, which was basically, yeah, I'm going to embrace whatever beliefs and behaviors make me feel good, as opposed to what is truth as ordained by God.
Wow. And you think about that, George, how vulnerable the millennials and those that do not have a connection with God, because how else are you going to get through this?
Well, and one of the things we discovered is, so we look at this generation of millennials, 2% with a biblical worldview, didn't even turn to faith to help navigate the crisis of the pandemic. And during that period of time, we found that there was 3 out of 4 of them who say they don't have any sense of purpose for living. Majority of them who say they don't have any meaningful relationships. 54%, big rise, who said they're struggling with mental health issues like anxiety, depression, fear, suicidal thoughts. Why? Because they didn't go back to God's truth. That's the antidote to all of those issues. They're not really wrestling with mental health issues. They don't need to be medicated. They need to be biblicized.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right, for about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're going to love it. And you're going to love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. And our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-699-0358. 800-699-0358. 800-699-0358. That's 800-699-0358.
USA News Update. The Supreme Court agrees that Alabama's latest version of congressional districts violates the Voting Rights Act. The 5-4 decision means Alabama must redraw its 7 congressional districts. All the smoke in the air around the Northeast may start dissipating tonight, but it won't come soon enough for some airline passengers.
This is the first time I've worn a mask since we had to for the pandemic.
The air quality is really bad. My eyes are burning. I can feel it in the back of my throat.
A lot of flights are being delayed thanks to the smoke from wildfires in Canada. The man who led the Coalition of Christians into Politics has died. Christian Broadcasting Network founder Pat Robertson died at his home in Southeast Virginia this morning. He was 93. A new Gallup poll finds 38% of us in the USA say that we are socially conservative. Rich Johnson, USA News.
I need to do my taxes. Are there any self-help options online?
Doing taxes yourself? IRS.gov has many self-service tax tools, and they're all just a click away. Prepare and file your taxes online using FreeFile. Use our calculator to estimate your tax withholding. Order a tax transcript. Apply for an employer identification number. Check your refund status, too. IRS.gov, your 24/7 federal tax resource.
Both my legs were amputated due to an IED. It's when you start to try to get back into, like, an everyday life. I absolutely felt like I lost some of my purpose. There must be something more. When DAV came into my life, they gave me a new mission. I could still be a productive member of society, could still support a family.
The DAV gave him that sense of structure and purpose again to get his life back together.
Visit DAV.org to learn more about our mission.
With you. Just about 28 minutes before the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Good to have you with us sharing a part of your day. For more info on the show, you can check it out, BillMartinezShow.com. Hey, by the way, I do want to thank you once again. You have been so awesome to us and to this show in supporting us with your generous donations. As you may or may not have heard, as a result of our earlier campaign, we were able to expand greatly our reach. We are now doing an afternoon TV podcast show that is both in audio and video, a vision that I've had for years that we were able to accomplish. It is now off and running. So when you go to anywhere where you see your podcast, you can see the Bill Martinez Live podcast show. And it airs originally at 1 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern time. And then it's put out throughout the podcast universe. So wherever you watch a podcast, you can now see Bill Martinez Live. And you get to see my happy little cheery face real live and in person. And you just say, yeah, exactly. You've got a face perfectly fit for radio. You shouldn't be a TV. I know I've had a couple of my good friends already make that comment. So I thought, well, might as well get that out of the way as an early disclaimer. But anyway, that is now available. And also, as a result of this expansion and where we're going with our next step as well, if you want to continue to to participate and support the show, just go to the website, BillMartinezShow.com. We have a 501c3. We're in partnership with Hill of Hope, and you can make that donation. So when you see Hill of Hope and, you know, Bill Martinez, don't get confused. The Hill of Hope allows this donation to be received as a tax-deductible donation, okay? So you get a little bonus here because we're givers. You know, we constantly give. But whatever your heart would so desire, you know, all donations are welcome, and like in all things like this, you may think, well, Bill, I only got, a couple of bucks. I don't care. Whatever. you know, thank you. And even if you don't, even if you just say, hey, Bill, I can't right now, but I'm happy to pray for you. We welcome your prayers as well, because that goes a long way with us, as you know, with me being a man of God and a man of faith. So anyway, again, thank you for your support. Jerry Wilbur is with us right now. And Jerry is an incredible humanoid, I would say. He's an author, incredible business background. He is known for his national and international business consultancy business. He's also worked for 20 years as a senior officer for two multi-billion dollar organizations. So he probably has learned a lot more and maybe forgotten a lot more than we'll ever learn. So this is why it's an honor to have Jerry on with us right now to talk about his new book. Jerry, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Thank you.
Okay. Well, True Blue Revolution, the name of your new book. Why and what prompted you to say, look, I got to write this book?
Well, initially it was written all the way back in about 2013 after I was taking a look around, and it was originally very speculative science fiction, but it's become eerily prophetic. Mm-hmm. It was rewritten again in 2018, and then it's published now in 2022, and the follow-up book in 2023 called Rise of the True Blue Rebellion. Mm-hmm. And what happened was I looked around trying to explain a lot of things that I saw, and I came up with what at the time was probably a conspiracy theory.
That's where they all begin. But it's interesting on all these conspiracy theories that we've been involved with, Jerry, how they become true, you know. And I guess at that point we get to take off our tinfoil hats, I guess. I don't know.
Well, in this case, I think so. I think it's becoming eerily prophetic, and because basically it's about the idea that psychopaths have secretly taken over the nation. I don't think that's so secret anymore. You know, for people that aren't aware of psychopaths, or people that are completely without conscience, no sense of guilt, no empathy. And at the time, it was hard to kind of predict who was a psychopath. But since then, a lot of research has been done and proven that they're definitely out there.
Right.
No one knows the exact percentage in a population. But most people think that 4%, which doesn't sound like a lot, except when you realize that's 1 out of 25.
Well, you don't need many to do damage. I mean, Hitler's Germany realized that, right?
That's exactly right. And with people that without any compunction, without any guilt, without any sense of conscience, can lie. As a matter of fact, one of the big issues that's been talked about now is, well, maybe we should give every politician a lie detector test. And I told somebody the other day, I said, the only problem with that is that psychopaths are really pretty good at passing lie detectors. Now, some of the new ones coming out.
We lost you there. What happened? Jerry, are we... Brad, do we lose him? Yeah, I'm here. He's on. Okay, well, all right. We're going to reconnect with Jerry Wilbur. Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. You know, this is an interesting premise here. You know, the idea is that, you know, what if politicians couldn't lie? I mean, imagine that. And, you know, in a sense, True Blue Revolution is a bit of a satire, fascinating as it is. But, you know, it, as Jerry was explaining, yes, so much of this stuff that you look at and you think, well, hey, this is what I'm seeing, this is what I'm observing. You know, some people would say you're being a conspiratist, but interesting that when those conspiracies come to light. Jerry, sorry for the technical problem that we got disconnected, but if you can remember where we were at, if you can pick it up from there.
Yes, anyway, so now we can actually identify psychopaths. And in the book, I talk about that's one of the things that motivates them to come out of the dark, because they now know they can be recognized. There's a couple really good tools developed by Robert Hare, and like I said, brain scans. They can actually show up. They actually have a different brain scan pattern than a, quote, normal human being. And so it's
And so you're saying roughly it's about 4%. of the body politic or psychopaths?
Yes, and many people think growing, because some of it is a natural brain scan, but then some people, and there's a difference between a psychopath and a sociopath, but I don't want to get too much in the weeds.
Right.
But a sociopath appears to be learned and has maybe a, what looks like a normal brain scan, but a psychopath starts in the very beginning with a different type of brain function. And they are very glib, very have a tendency to be very courageous risk-takers, high risk-takers. There's even some people who talk about positive psychopaths because people want to think that all psychopaths are serial killers. Well, they're not.
Mm-hmm.
A small portion are, unfortunately. Most serial killers are psychopaths, but not all psychopaths are serial killers by any means. They go to positions where they can have a lot of influence, power, dominance, and control. And that probably sounds very...
sounds like Congress.
Yes. They gravitate towards law, medicine, and business executives. So the reason I got into this, back to your original question, was I did a lot of counseling with executives. And that was part of my job, was to help executives that were having either some that were having problems and some that were doing quite well and wanted to do even better. And I bumped into a number there, and you're not supposed to diagnose from a distance.
Right.
Some people who have say that they figured as many as maybe 40% of CEOs could be psychopaths are definitely on that continuum. They also go to other fields. Any field where they can have power, dominance, and control, probably a higher percentage of surgeons than a general population have that, because they have to be risk takers. They have to be pretty. There's some positive aspects to it. I hate to make it sound all negative, but they definitely are very risk takers. Some call it the warrior.
Well, let's address that, because we're about 45 seconds away from this break. But, you know, it's quite interesting. You know, you mentioned that this number could be growing, and I'm wondering if the reason it's growing is because there just seems to be more psychopaths out there. Is that maybe it's a psychopath-rich environment right now, possibly?
Well, I think there's no doubt about it. All you have to do, as a matter of fact, in the second book, Rise of the True Blue Rebellion, I talk about something called the Creeb Nation, which is where the psychopaths actually go about saying, hey, and submit to be satirical.
I'll tell you what, let's go to break. We'll pick it up after that.
Yep. For as little as 10 cents a day, now you can with the all-new Audion hearing aids. The average hearing aid lasts about 3 years. Ours, at only $99 a pair, means you're paying as little as 10 cents a day to hear better. And to make things even better, we'll give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Skip the doctor and get hearing aids delivered straight to your door. We've eliminated all the middlemen to offer you a factory direct price of only $99 a pair. Join over 300,000 people just like you who took advantage of our 45-day trial offer. Now you can hear better too for just 10 cents a day. Call now and order your $99 pair of Audion hearing aids with a 45-day money-back guarantee. Plus, get free 3 to 5 day shipping.
800-577-5319. 800-577-5319. 800-577-5319. That's 800-577-5319.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Do you use pesticides in your job? Specifically Roundup. Roundup, made by Monsanto, contains a chemical called glyphosate, which has been linked to cancer. If you've used Roundup and you have cancer, you may be entitled to a cash award. Over $10 billion has been set aside to pay users of Roundup who've been diagnosed with cancer. Time is almost running out to file your claim. So if you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've used Roundup, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And time to file is almost gone, so please call right now.
800-890-7088. 800-890-7088. 800-890-7088. That's 800-890-7088.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. and I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Hi, Fred Dwyer here. If you suffer from a serious chronic illness, heartburn, poor sleep, fatigue, brain fog, you need Balance 7. Balance 7 water improves the acid-alkaline balance in the body. The right pH helps unlock the immune system. It also allows for better hydration and nourishment during times of medication and stress. Balance 7 works. I know. I use it every day. Now you can try it free. Balance 7 is offering chronic illness sufferers a free gallon of Balance 7 water for the first 100 callers. That's an $87 value free. So call 800-793-9039 and mention my name, Fred. The first 100 callers suffering with a chronic illness get a free gallon of Balance 7 water. So call 800-793-9039, code word Fred, or visit balance7.com. That's balance, the number 7.com. 800-793-9039, code word Fred.
Welcome back. Bill Martinez here. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, we're talking with Jerry Wilbur. Incredible background and his new book, True Blue Revolution. As he mentioned, this has been modified and updated. And the premise and the question is, what if politicians couldn't lie? It is the premise of this fascinating satire, True Blue Revolution. And we're talking, you know, about his background and all, and here you are, hanging around CEOs and your involvement with business and all, we start looking at the political landscape and now we're going into an election season. Jerry, I gotta imagine this has got to be a fun analysis for you, right?
Yes, yeah, definitely. Definitely. And the whole idea of finding someone that cannot tell a lie, ends up being a very interesting situation. Difficult on both ends, and it's hoped that people would be able to trust our politicians.
But it's almost like the fix is in, though, Jerry. I mean, you know, the Beltway doesn't know, the bureaucracy doesn't know about the truth. It's all based on ideology, and what I find so frustrating in listening and even talking with some of these politicians. I mean, even like the other day, you've got two politicians. I mean, it sounds like a joke, you know, like they went into a bar. Actually, they went into a meeting with the FBI, and they were both given the same, you know, the same presentation, and they came out with two different stories. It's like, wait a minute, how can you both be in the same room, same time, hearing the same presentation, and the story you tell is like, man, it's ludicrous. And you know, to your point here, you know, particularly with Jamie Raskin, who's the representative out of New York, you know, some of the other people just flat out came out and just said he lied. You know, so it's one thing when you lie and you think you're kind of getting away with it, you know, like Bill Clinton, but it's another thing when you got your hand in the cookie jar and there's crumbs all over your face, right?
That doesn't bother them. They're without compunction, without any sense of guilt.
Yeah.
And
Jerry, Jerry, I'm sorry to interrupt you. We're getting, you know, this random beep. I don't know if you're a dial tone, if you're hitting a dial button or something as you're holding the phone, and it keeps coming down, like right now. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No.
Is that something you're accidentally doing here with hitting a button?
Nope. Don't think so.
Okay.
I'll tell you what.
Okay. Our studio is going to call you right back, and let's see if this solves the problem. But I'll tell you, you know, evidently, the powers to be do not want us to have this conversation with Jerry Wilbur, and we've been looking forward to it because this helps you understand what is going on in the political process. And we say the political process because, you know, we know there's a lot of corruption going on. And this is kind of, you know, ground up type of situation here. And Jerry's giving us an understanding. But this has relevance, as he said, not only just in the political environment, but, you know, throughout our universe, the world at large, because we have this increasing number of psychopaths and sociopaths. It just seems like they're on the rise. Right, Jerry?
Yes, yes. And part of it's because it's ideal conditions. But the other part is just that the public's not aware. I think we're becoming aware. I always ask people, I say, are you aware and do you care? I think
yes.
Maybe in the past, people would just kind of go with a very glib personality, likable. Unfortunately, as we study psychopaths, they didn't learn this.
Mm-hmm.
They do not have empathy like you or I do, but they learn to fake empathy and they learn to fake honesty. And
right.
They can do it quite well.
Right.
So you see this. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a
tendency
to be very aggressive. Yeah.
Yeah, this is why it's interesting where you get a former president, well, actually before he was president, talking about the fundamental transformation of the country. And then it was like, well, if you want your doctor, you can keep your doctor. And what makes, you know, psychopaths especially dangerous are the ones that are blessed with charm. And maybe most of these psychopaths are, they've got a charm gene that can, you know, really trap you and allow the lie to be extended, right?
Oh, yes, yeah. Classic example, if you want a classic example, is Ted Bundy here in the Northwest in Seattle.
Right.
And before he was, before he revealed himself, he was friends with a lady named Ann Rule, who was a detective. She was working with him for about 2-3 years and was kind of hoping that maybe he'd want to date her daughters. He looked like an ideal son-in-law. And this is a person who was excellent at detecting criminals.
Right.
And he was on the governor's task force. He was very popular, very, very charismatic. And when it finally came out, people were like absolutely shocked that it could even be him until finally he collapsed after quite a few court cases.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing, very likable, highly intelligent, a risk taker. But, sometimes we look for that and we see that. And, a couple of people, you're not supposed to diagnose people in the past, but one writer has said that two of the ones that raised the highest on the psychopathic checklist would be Bill Clinton and even JFK, which is kind of a shock a little bit on JFK, except I guess when you know more about his.
Right, exactly.
You kind of go, oh, okay.
Okay, yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
No, this is fascinating, and we need to, like, go into this with eyes wide open. And as you said, this is a target-rich area in the universe in this age, this information age in which we live in. It seems that this enriches the area all the more and produces more psychopath behavior.
Yeah, and it's encouraged. For a politician, if you can lie without blinking an eye, as you commented, mm-hmm. you're at a great advantage to someone who has to tell the truth. I hate to
right.
put it that way, but it's just, it's very difficult for someone that's going to try to tell the truth, try to live the best they can, and it puts them at a definite disadvantage in our political system, the way it's currently structured. And
yeah, how can we even possibly hold this? I mean, right now there's a lot of, you know, push and pull against this existing political structure and bureaucracy. I mean, we've got the deep state in operation. At every turn, it's like you're going, wait a minute, where's the truth in all this? And a lot of shenanigans, and it's wearing out. You know, the people, we the people who are supposed to be, you know, the leaders, we're actually the leaders. And when we turn it over to a concentrated few, well, then this allows, psychopaths to really flourish all the more and to garner that much more influence and power, does it not?
Oh, yes, it does. And that's why I'm one of the reasons you asked me in the beginning, what was motivated me to write these books? And that's part of it, to get people aware. For example, they've stolen a lot of things from us. And I say they, but the old conspiracy theory. But, for example, people ask me, well, why do you use the word blue in both your books, True Blue Revolution and then Rise of the True Blue Rebellion? I said, because they stole that from us. blue originally. Who were the men in blue that fought the men in red?
Right.
I'm old enough that I remember when it was better dead than red.
Right.
The Chinese, red Soviet Union, the red on the symbol for communism. And all of a sudden that got stolen from us. Started in the 70s, but definitely in the 80s with Tim Russert. All of a sudden they started saying, well, no, these are the blue states. And yet they get upset when we talk about the thin blue line, and that's our place.
Right.
And so I tell people this is kind of a symptom of what slowly happened, is that we've allowed a lot of our things to be stolen and taken from us. And they're excellent at marketing, as you can see when people talk about, you know, how can anybody be against choice? How can anybody be against? And the terminology, so excellent marketers, and we just need to be aware and look for the truth. And, of course, I know you're a believer like I am. You can pray for the truth because truth will set you free.
Yes.
We're not to get discouraged, but we're just to really look at people and to try to make sure that we have fully vetted individuals. And they're not easy to vet. They will come across, at least on the surface, to look very, very real.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you start looking deeper. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, like you said, right now in the current condition, we have a president in the White House that the majority – I mean, anytime you have majority numbers, it used to be meaningful. You know, it's like, how can somebody exist? But we have a majority of America that believes the 2020 election was fraudulent. I mean, those are straight up numbers. But yet we have to put up and tolerate, we have no choice, the mainstream media and all these others that want to, you know, tell us that, you know, our eyes are lying to us, that we have no common sense, that Joe Biden, operating out of a bunker, was able to generate 82 million votes, more than Barack Obama with all his charm. And we're supposed to believe that. Now, you know, as I was talking with somebody else, I said, you approach it, at least for me, I approached it, I said, was it possible for Joe Biden to get 82 million votes? I said, yeah, it's possible. Is it probable? As you look into it, the probability numbers start to dissipate. And when you get to the point is after you've gone through the possible and probable, can you state it as a fact that, in fact, he got 80? No, you can't. You can't even approximate that number. And, of course, there's so many other things that come into play here just in a mathematical equation that we learned in our early school years. Right, Jerry?
Well, as a matter of fact, one of the things I do, and people ask me about that, I say, well, how many times in the past have we had elections halted and then the vote done the next day? And it ends up only one time back in the 1870s. Always in the past, votes were actually finished on that same day, you know, for general election. And yet we suddenly had, what was it, five that suddenly went in? Now, okay, so, well, okay, let's say that did happen for some reason, but in each case, one candidate was leading, and in most of the time, leading by quite a bit. And then all of a sudden, when you woke up in the morning, I don't know about you, but I live out on the West Coast, so when I woke up in the morning, all of a sudden, it's like, what? I couldn't believe it. How did that happen? Not only was five.
It was 1960, Nixon-Kennedy, deja vu one more time, right? Jerry Wilbur, we got to leave it there. Look forward to having you back. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Take care.
Okay. Thank you very much.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling three-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on three-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to...